Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
There's some guys like Sting when he was with the police. Now, that was more than just one other person. But there's some people that ultimately broke away.
There's like Rivers Cuomo from Weezer, who seemed to be doing all the heavy lifting, you know. There's Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, who, you know, basically can play every one of the instruments. Yep. He's writing all the music. He's doing the lead guitar and the singing and everything else, the songwriting. Sure. You know, it's a Lenny Kravitz is a guy who can do all of it. You know, he's writing the songs, but also doing the guitar, the bass, the drums, everything else in the studio. It's you got some disparate relationships within the musical.
Yeah, musical will lend itself to some good answers. We're looking essentially for a contrast today, a gap between two people. Maybe it can be two things, James. I guess it could be two things.
I wasn't thinking that. Okay. I think we should keep it to people. I think we're getting too
Fair enough.
Weird.
All right, well, let's see where the answers come in. You can win the Bare Naked Ladies tickets. By the way, congrats to Jalen Hurts. Got a new book. Jalen Hurts' book, Better Than a Touchdown. So he's written a book for kids, young kids, like Brandon Graham, young kids, which is really, really cool. So congrats to Jalen on the new book. Who sells more, Jalen Hurts or Brandon Graham? Same target audience.
Or you.
We're me. I don't think that's happening.
I'll go with Jalen.
He's the quarterback.
He is the quarterback. So I saw Brandon's book. It looked really cool. I haven't seen Jalen's book. BG's book, basically each letter of the alphabet is a featured chapter. And like a motivational, I don't know if motivational is the right word, but a message. Brandon had a message for kids, young kids. Like BG's was, it looked to me like 5 to 7-year-olds. Like it was really young. And Jalen's looks like it's on the young side as well. Mine's more in the teen variety, I would say. Probably 10 and up, but big focus for me, kind of the 12 to 16, 17-year-olds. But it's going to work for adults, too. But anyway, congrats to BJ. Congrats to Jalen. Great stuff. Hey, time's yours. We do it every single day. Get the calls into the time's yours line. Anything you want to get off your chest, good or bad, about sports or otherwise, 215-238-4500. Let us know how you're dealing with the heat. It's going to be really, really hot again today. So whatever you're feeling, get it off your chest. Time's yours, 215-238-4500. We have a second Twitter poll question of the day. This one also brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. On this very hot day, very hot week, we ask you this question. John, I'm turning to you first. Which is worse? Which is worse? Extreme heat or extreme cold? And I'm thinking like Philadelphia extreme. Like, we're not talking Antarctica and the equator because none of us have experience with that. Like, Philadelphia extremes. Which is worse, the 100-degree day with humidity or, you know, the 0-degree day? Because we've had both of them. I mean, maybe we've gone down to 5 degrees. Have we gotten to 0, James?
Oh, yeah.
They're about, right? Which is worse?
Wow. I think my answer is, has changed. I think. Okay. Once upon a time, I was pleased. The feeling of training camp, the 110 degrees, the sweltering humidity, you know, add pads on top of that, add the dark jersey on top of that. Please keep it all away. But, you know, losing some weight, I get cold sometimes now. Kind of, I like the summer thing a little bit more.
I think the
humidity
feels
good on my bones now.
I think the heat's worse. I
kind of like the heat more now.
I will let us know, heat or cold, extreme, which is worse.
By the way,
yes, sir.
You haven't changed. You were in Bermuda.
Yeah, Bermuda.
Did you go outside and go to the beach and stuff?
Okay, let me think. Beach, no, but swimming multiple times. So pool. We had a pool at the hotel. And then Fred on Sunday rented a huge boat. And for 4 hours, we were out there.
Did you fish?
No, what we did is we would,
you should have tried to fish.
No, it anchored, and then we all jumped in the water.
Oh, that's the best.
We had like 35, 40 people all in the water.
Oh, it was on the boat?
Oh, but how did you do that?
Swim well. You don't swim. Paddling?
I had the same thing the kids had.
You wore the floaties?
No, it's a floaty, but the noodle thing. By the way, all the adults had the noodle.
Because
we were
out there. Guys,
we were out there for like 30 minutes. Nobody wants to keep yourself up for 30 minutes.
Noodle.
Yes, I used the noodle. Everybody used the noodle.
No, they didn't. I swear to God,
I didn't see one person without the noodle. I'm being honest with you. Who would want to be out there for 30 minutes?
You can't put your feet down.
Everybody used the noodle.
Not everyone needed the noodle. I agree with that.
Not everybody needed the noodle. I did. Let's go, folks. That was the highlight of the trip, by the way. Jumping off the back. Well, I didn't jump, obviously. Walk down the little.
You didn't even jump yourself. Man, that's the best part.
The little stairs.
So hold on, you lowered yourself down the stairs. Even Zoe loves jumping off the thing in the pool.
Yeah, I didn't do the jump off thing.
It's just the back of a boat, like flat level, where you could just.
That's the best part.
Yeah, you could jump.
You went down the ladder instead.
Yeah, Fred's kids are jumping off and all. I'm not doing that nonsense.
Why would you not just jump off a boat? You jump.
Not my style.
Hold on. That is so weird. That is so weird, man.
Well, we need to get him to jump off the side of a pool. I don't do that.
What do you mean you don't do that?
I don't do it.
You go in the ladder every time you get into a pool?
Yes.
Wow, that's so weird. Every time you enter, or I sit by the side of the pool and just... This is like legit weird. This is actually so very weird.
No, I'm legitimately afraid. I'm afraid to jump in water, so
wait,
I don't
Why?
Because I'm afraid.
You're afraid to have your head go under the water.
No, but I just wouldn't want to jump in. I just wouldn't want to. Yeah, I wouldn't. Let's go to the phones.
You have to get over this. This is holding you back.
I'm 47. I probably never will.
You need to get over this.
I would like to be able to.
This is a life skill, man.
I know, and I don't have it.
Well, you can gain it.
Well, I can, but I...
It's important.
Well.
This is an important skill. You could enjoy things so much more.
Yeah, no,
if you could swim and jump off the diving board, jump off the boat.
Yeah, I won't do it.
You should. You can.
I mean, you can make...
They made me want to play saxophone. That's why I... Well... this song, Maneater.
Yeah.
I thought it was so cool. Back then, a lot of songs had saxophone solos. Like Men at Work, they had saxophone solos for their songs.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a holdover from the 50s. You know, that the early songs that were making it into the rotation on MTV with videos had sax solos. So I was like, this is the coolest ever. Clarence Clemons for the E Street Band, Bruce Springsteen. I need to get my hands on a sax, because those are cool.
Somebody help John out. Get him a sax.
Get him a sax. So it was third grade, and my mom rented a sax.
That's pretty cool, man. You should do a music podcast. It'd be so up your alley. Yeah. You know, Spike's got his basketball podcast. You should do a music podcast, man.
Yeah, because podcasts are...
That's a thing. Seltzer's got his Phillies podcast.
And my Eagles.
And his Eagles podcast. Yeah. All right, James, which do you like more, the Phillies or the Eagles podcast?
Both evenly.
Oh, boy.
I do a TV show podcast.
There you go. Very nice.
My specialty is British television.
How about that?
There you go.
I love it. I'm sure the Crown got in there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
There it is.
100%.
All right, 215-592-9494. Do you believe in this Phillies team? I'm struck by the swing. Just the last 2 weeks, I mean, people are out. Now it sounds like a lot of people are back in. Nothing really changed. I know John mentioned Otto Kemp's played, and that's true. But, I mean, let's be real. I mean, the only thing that changed is they started winning. After losing, which was after winning, which was after losing, which was after winning. The reality is that Nets out to the third best record in baseball right now. They're a game in front of first place. They're a team likely headed to the playoffs, very likely headed to the playoffs. They got great pitching. They got inconsistent hitting. They got a weak outfield. They got a weak bullpen. But they have superlative starting pitching. And I'll go as far as to say this. It's possible we may not ever see starting pitching like this again in our lifetime. The only one it compares to is 2011. It's the only one. And you could be 20 years old and be alive for the next 80 years. You might not ever again see starting pitching like this. I mean that. I mean, it's really exceptional. All right, Rhea, I'd say you're probably the most cynical amongst the four of us. You know, you look at things with a jaundiced eye. Is that the right phrase?
Sometimes, yes, that's the right phrase, right? Yeah, sometimes I do.
All right, do you believe in them?
I disagree with you on the hitting inconsistent of late.
Okay. But for the years, they've been inconsistent.
Yeah, and that's been their bit. But I think the way they're hitting may make them somewhat, not slump-proof, but I think they've approached it differently, and they stayed consistent with that approach. You see it. They don't have the power.
No, they don't.
They've got one guy hitting 24 home runs. Now, Bryce has been out, so that's hurt him. A bunch of them have 9. So they're not relying on that.
For sure. And by the way, just point of reference, 4 games short of the halfway point of the year.
Yeah.
So, like, the guys that are at 9 are basically tracking to, like, 19.
Yeah.
They might not have a second 20 home run hitter.
So they're not relying on that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a positive thing. So I do feel good. And I think Otto Kemp has provided a spark. I've heard the players talk about it. Rob Thompson, he likes him so much, he's finding ways to keep him on the field. And I think it makes a difference.
It absolutely does.
It adds a little, you get a young person in there.
Yeah. And every team needs something to get that, especially when you got 162 games in a season. Something to get you through the lull here and there. Maybe it's a crazy guy like CJ GJ. I'm telling you, it really does go a long way when there's just some little perk me up.
Yep.
And I think Otto Kemp has been exactly.
Well, he's done a nice job. He has. All right, well, we ask everyone, do you believe in the Phillies? I chuckle a bit because not much has changed. Yes, Kemp has changed, but not much has changed from 2 weeks ago other than they started winning again. I mean, they are a very inconsistent team, but it nets out to the third best record in baseball, almost at the halfway point of the year. Where do you stand on the fight in Phillies? A lot on the NBA draft today as well. We'll get you more audio, some of the other players you should know about. Including Trey Johnson, who certainly is a viable option for the Sixers at 3. We'll get to some audio related to him shortly, because you probably don't know a ton, but you got to hear some of this stuff. I mean, they're going to pick one of 4 guys at 3. It's either going to be Konkanipal, Trey Johnson, Vijay Edgecombe, or it's going to be Ace Bailey.
Yeah, Konkanipal would be a bit of a reach at 3. Konkanipal?
I think he's the least likely.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean,
that's
a little bit of a reach.
Yeah, but also there's the possibility of trading down, picking
up
something
off.
Yeah,
if they trade down, I see
getting
that,
him at 5, 6. Yeah. I mean, those 4, chances are very high chances they're going to walk away tomorrow night with one of those 4 guests. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Gary in Whitehall. Gary, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing today?
Good, bud.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, John. Hey, Joe, you are the life of a party, aren't you?
I mean, I try to hold up my end of the bargain, you know? Sure.
Sliding off a boat.
That is so incredibly lame.
It really is.
The freaking ladder. He took the there are tiny children jumping off the side of the boat.
They were.
And Joe is lowering himself.
Like
my 6-year-old. Who even uses those?
My
6-year-old
would only jump. She'd be like, "Can I do it again? Can I do it again?" They would all she'd want to do the entire time is keep jumping off the boat.
Listen,
the
Gary.
The ladder to
my
lower 6-year-old. Yourself into the water. That's you're at the water's level.
Gary, I have my style. You know, remember in the year 2025,
that is not style.
You're not allowed to make fun of people anymore, right? We're in a very PC culture now, so no making fun of me. I have my style.
Okay, all right, all right.
Lame. I'm gonna be in. Is that a style? Lame.
Pretty much. All right, what do you got? All right, Gary, direct question to you. Do you, Gary and Whitehall, believe in this Phillies team?
I want to, but the inconsistency, I can't. I mean, the starting pitching, you can only take you as far as they can. We got a really bad bullpen. We got inadequate play in the outfield. There's holes to be filled. I want to be in because, I mean, this... Yeah, win, lose. But, I mean, they're doing a lot of this lately now without two of their big main pieces that they're going to need if they're going to have a playoff push. I want to, but it's too consistently inconsistent.
Well, listen, you're not wrong about that. But here's what I think you are wrong about. They're better than I think you think. I mean, they have the third best record in baseball. They got to be doing something right more than you're giving them credit for, right?
Well, no, I'm giving them credit for that. It's just inconsistent.
Okay, Gary, let me ask you a question because I'm not even a joke. I'm really trying to understand when people answer this question today how they define what it means to believe in a team. So what I said earlier, my definition of believing in the Phillies is I believe They are amongst the best teams in baseball and can win the World Series. That's my definition of believing in them. What is your definition of what believing would mean for which you say you don't believe in them? What's your definition?
It's consistent play all around. I mean, as far as hitting and pitching. Yeah, okay. I like what they're doing. They're not relying on a long ball.
Okay.
I like that.
Consistent. Consistent play is an interesting answer. I am struck by the fact I think the 08 Phillies and the 80 Phillies, I think, were both at 1.64 and 57, meaning like two-thirds the way through the year. And not that much above 500. So I'm guessing they were pretty inconsistent as well for a bunch of those months. But, all right, listen, they are an aggravating team, this one, with regard to consistency. I do get that. Gary, give me an answer for a duo with a gap between them. Can be personality, effectiveness, physicality. What do you got?
You're going to like this one. Phil Belichick and Jordan Hudson.
You know, that's a good answer, man.
Wow.
That, could win.
That's a massive.
That could win.
That relationship fascinates me.
Yeah.
It just
I'd use
does.
Another word than fascinate.
It just I'm completely
that's a great answer.
Intrigued by it.
That's a great answer.
So we've heard very little lately.
Yes.
Do you think that Bill has sort of come to his senses a little bit?
North
probably.
Carolina.
Yeah, it could be that too.
Yeah,
could
I don't
be
know.
That too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Put the genie back in the bottle. Maybe. Maybe. All right, let's get to Anthony in New Jersey. Anthony, good morning. Yeah, hey, Anthony.
What's going on, man?
How are you, pal?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, John, man, you should really do a music podcast. Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
that'd be good, man. Talk some music, you know.
I had a chance to talk to Jimmy's dad once. I took a class when I was in...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College that was called Community Service Writing. I was an English major. I don't know how
Community
I ended up,
Service Writing. And
I
this was a good
to
college?
Help serve the community by yeah, this was at Stanford. I ended up performing for the community on a few occasions and trying to incorporate Jimi Hendrix's dad.
Wow.
But I did get a chance to talk to him. His dad.
And what was he like?
He was really soft-spoken and, you know, kind of like you'd expect. Sort of like, I don't know why you're talking to me about this stuff that was really, really long ago. And
right.
People used to talk to me about this, you know, maybe 30 years ago.
Sure.
You seem incredibly interested. He was really nice to go along with
good.
All my questions.
Well, you probably peppered him, to say the least.
He was, yeah,
yeah. I get
but
it.
He hung in there.
All right, Anthony, what do you got on the fighting Phils, my man?
Hey, the Phils, man. It wasn't, they doing pretty good right now, man. I hope they continue. Wasn't this like the same spot where they was at last year around this time?
Maybe. I mean, they had the downturn in June, so maybe it would net out around the same. I mean, they were certainly better in early June, but because of the downturn in the 2 weeks that the Phillies just had an upturn, maybe it's pretty similar.
It felt like last year they came out of the gates just like gangbusters
yeah.
and were never able to replicate that initial boom.
They didn't. They never did.
Yeah, this time the hope is that we can somehow sustain or stretch or,
yeah.
you know... Like we're figuring this out.
So
I think.
Very the Phillies got to 45-19 last year. So at this point last year they were 52-26 on June 24th last year. So they were a better team
52.
Last year.
52. And what's this team got?
They're 47 or 48 right now.
Okay, so 4 or 5 games behind, something like that. Okay.
Either way, I love the mojo. Without Bryce Harper in, it's like everybody is molding into their own guy, and it's not just so much of Bryce Harper. Man, we need a little bit from him, a little bit from him. The bats are picking up. The starting pitching is unbelievable, man. So I think things are shaping up pretty good, man. Got their confidence back against the Mets. We beat the Cubs. The Dodgers is a little shaky, even though they whatever. I think the is wide open, man. The Fighting Bills have a great chance, man. A great chance, man.
Well, I agree with you on that. All right, Anthony, give us the duo that's got a gap in there.
One is short, one fat, one tall, one skinny. You know, I'm gonna go Pinky in the Brain.
Say it again. Who?
Great aunt. Pinky in the Brain.
Who's that? I don't know that. Who are they?
Really?
No.
You never saw the cartoon Pinky in the Brain?
No.
I never saw it either.
Pinky the Brain?
Yes.
No.
Pinky in the Brain. Like, Pinky was like a doofus idiot, and Brain was, you know, this genius.
Young kids?
Yeah, it was trying to take over the world. Always.
No, I don't know.
Wow. Okay. It's Pinky and the Brain.
Well, James, I mean, you got a daughter. No.
This is from our childhood. This
really?
From when we were younger. Like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Don't remember it.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Don't know
ever.
It. All right. Here's what I do know. NBA draft is tomorrow. Four options, it seems like, for the 76ers with pick three, or if they, you know, trade down. Twitter poll question, we ask you, who do you want the 76ers to draft at three? So four choices. Ace Bailey, obviously Rutgers. You got VJ Edgecombe from Baylor, shooting guard. Trey Johnson, Texas, shooting guard. And Con Knipple from Duke, 6'5", wing player from Duke. So let's get you set a little bit more on Trey Johnson. Gary Parrish was talking recently on CBS Sports .com about Trey Johnson. And big praise for a player. We haven't talked as much about some of the other guys, as him as some of the other guys, but Gary Parrish thinks it should be Trey Johnson at three.
I go Flag, I go Harper, but then I go Trey Johnson, a 6'5 guard, great athlete, shot 39.7% from three on 6.8 attempts per game, led all freshmen in scoring. I know the Sixers have good guards in Tyrese Maxey and Jerry McCain. I just don't let that move me off of the person I believe is the third best prospect in this draft, the best prospect available at this point in the draft. I guess this is what I'm trying to say. If I were in Philadelphia and my evaluation process led to me to Trey Johnson is the third best prospect in this draft, I am taking him, and I have little regard for what else is on my roster right now.
So I will say this. I agree with him that if you determine him to be, the, you know, meaning Trey Johnson to be the third best player, take him. But I'm not going to not act like it doesn't create an issue. I mean, the concept of all these guards would be a problem. And after the Embiid, Okafor, Nerlens thing, now the main problem with the Embiid, Nerlens, Okafor thing is only one of them could really play. I mean, Nerlens played for maybe, 6 to 7 years, mostly as a backup as time went on. But he didn't have, like, a career, you know, that we would say justified that investment of, you know, the pick. I mean, by the way, they traded, Drew Holiday for him. Drew just got traded again yesterday. But my point is, the main thing is only Embiid could play. But it did create a logjam that was bizarre. And it feels like a similar logjam could occur if they take one of these guards, you know, and put him with Maxey and McCain. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, Trey Johnson is someone for you to be aware of. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Tom in Springfield right now. Tom, good morning, buddy.
Hey, guys. This is actually my first time calling the show.
Wow. Thank you, Tom.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that you guys have, 911 on standby for this basketball game, hearing how you get in the water, just trying to make sure that everyone's okay and safe.
Well, I'll tell you what, when me and Fritz play anything, I hope it's in the most extreme heat possible because that guy is going to melt. And that is what they call advantage hammer.
Oh, boy.
Do you understand? Like, you're telling
I'm not
us,
saying I'm going to love it, but
you
I.
You puff out your chest and you talk like you're such a dominant.
A warrior.
Yeah.
I'm
then you tell us
in
that
competing,
you're afraid to jump or even walk off the back platform of a boat into the water. You lower yourself by the ladder into the water like you're an octogenarian or
and
something.
And like when we walk out into our food area out there, all you do is complain about how cold it is. You're like, oh my God, it's so cold. Why is it so cold? What are we doing
it
here?
It is cold out there. It really is. It's
sure,
cold
that's fine,
for like a
but
month.
You know, it does complain about it a lot.
Can someone have some freaking control of the temperature
here's
around here?
Here's what I think happened, Joe. They turned it up when we had that party. And they've forgotten to turn it back
That could
down.
Be right.
Because we had a lot of people here.
It has been a couple weeks, right?
Yes.
Ray?
Oh, it's been a while, yeah.
it really has.
Bringing a blanket.
All right, Tom, your first call to WIP, and we went off on a couple tangents. What do you got on the Phils, buddy?
So I think the Phils are a great team. I think they're a contender. And, I mean, outside, we did start off the year 13-13. We're 34-18 since then, and you're seeing players that were struggling coming back. Alec Bohm's on an incredible pair these last 30 games.
Yeah.
JT in the last 20, I think he's been 330. So there's been a lot of guys that are just slowly stepping it up again, and that's what you need because you know what you're going to get out of those bigger knees, but it's the guys, the Bohms, the Marshes, the Stotts that you really need in the postseason to hit because when those guys go cold, it can't be all nine of them go cold. But the biggest issue is that at the deadline, they have to go get a bullpen arm. At least one. I want two.
Me too.
But
two. I think it's doable. We don't have to go get. We need to add the bullpen arm. Maybe that means adding a starting pitcher to the bullpen. I don't know that Aaron Nola can be that starting pitcher, though.
Yeah, I also wonder, though, Tom, if they don't add from external, then are the main guys going to be cooked by the time you get there? And it's not like they're over-relying on Strom and Kirkland right now because I kind of think they've dialed it back, I think. They've gotten by with some wins when they put in the lesser relievers. They've had some big leads that has helped in some of the recent games.
It also hurts the starters, though, too. I mean, you know, we've seen Lizardo go an extra inning, go to 107 pitches
when he came
the other
back
day.
Out.
Yeah, like,
for sure.
Stuff like, we've seen that a fair amount where it feels like he has to put the guy out there because he doesn't trust the guys he has to get through the sixth or the seventh or
whatever
it is. And that compounds.
That's a factor. Yeah. Listen, Tom, it's going to be fascinating, but I do believe in him. I think they have an outstanding team. I know factually they have the third best record in baseball and have the best starting pitching in baseball. So, Tom, give me an answer here for a duo with a gap. You can win the Bare Naked Ladies tickets.
I'm going to say Kim Jong-un and Dennis Rodman.
Well, you know, that's not bad, man. That's not bad. That could
Very
win.
Good.
That could win. Okay. 215. Anyone know how I spell his name? I know how to spell Dennis.
Just put Kim.
D-E-N-N-I-S. All right, Rodman and Kim Jong-un. Not bad. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, James, you know, when I'm gone for a couple days, I sometimes come back and say, all right, let me just address on the record since I was gone.
Yes, we love that.
All right, here we go. Since I was gone. Isn't that a song?
Yeah, since you were gone, right?
Since you've been gone.
Since you've been gone. All right.
That's a great song.
I can
song.
Feel
it's okay.
for the first
that.
That's
a
banger.
A powerful
it's a
song.
Banger.
She's
wailing in that song.
She is.
She's awesome.
All right, here's what I got since I was gone. So first off, Friday night, Phil's had one of the coolest random plays ever. Double slide into home plate. That was wild. And I loved how the umpire, if you guys noticed, double safe sign. So he went double safe by the ump. Nice job by him. All right, 2 of 3 from the Mets. Outstanding. Now, I got a rip. I don't even know who I'm ripping, but I'm ripping some combination of people that were here Friday. Twitter poll question. I wasn't here on Friday.
It's Richie and Tom Kelly.
Richie and Tom Kelly
on Friday? Richie and Tom Kelly. And I guess Devin. Were you here, Rhea, or no?
Oh, I was off.
No, so
right,
Richie, Devin,
right,
and Tom Kelly.
Check out this poll question from Friday's show. All right. I mean, a couple of us take off, and this is the question we get. This was the poll question Friday that was stated multiple times on the air during Friday's show. Is this weekend series against the Mets a must-win series? Now, 66% said yes, but let me just make sure I understand. Does that mean if the Phillies had lost on Sunday and were one game out of first place instead of one game up on first place?
Season would be over.
You
yes.
can't win at all?
Shut it
Correct.
Because must wins. Is that what that means?
Well, listen.
What kind of question is this nonsense?
It was a must win for me. That's how I approached it.
Emotionally?
Yes.
Yeah, right. But I saw that question.
I mean, remember, they got swept by them before four-game series.
I know.
It was kind of big for everyone's psyche.
It was big. Yeah. I'm just saying, there's a difference between a big series and a must-win in frickin' late June, almost mid-June at the time.
Talk to Tom Kelly.
Yeah, well, TK,
Ooh,
get it
I
together,
love you.
Man.
Throwing TK under the bus. Nice.
It's just a must-win. It's like asking a question in September. Is this Eagles game in September a must-win? Yes or no? I mean, that nonsense out of here.
Actually, right, more like October,
I don't
man.
Think
Probably
it's
October. October.
Yeah. Tom feels strongly about this.
All right, I'm playing
Kevin
around.
Kevin does, too.
Couple other things. So the Halliburton thing was a disaster. Really a shame. I mean, just what a shame. I missed it live. I was in the bathroom. When I got back.
Clogging the toilet?
Not clogging the toilet. Fred said to me.
You probably were.
Halliburton. He goes, Halliburton just tore his Achilles. And I'm like, are you sure? He's like. It's a guarantee.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the way because I
was on a heater.
We could all see it. The way he left the court, though, you could just tell.
What a shame!
Yeah. Snap.
So, and now Amy from Villanova asked me an interesting question that I did not know the answer to. She said, "Is this the biggest injury ever in a deciding game of a championship?"
It's a great question.
Right? And I didn't know the answer because the first thing I thought of was Crumride, John, you remember, with the Bengals, but that's not as big an injury. That's one football player out of 50. And he was one of their best defenders.
Yeah, I mean, Dre Greenlaw at the Super Bowl, like right before it started.
But again, but that's not as big.
No, I agree. It's not. I'm just throwing out names. Yeah.
And you're one of
I remember
five.
Colt McCoy.
OBJ in the Super Bowl got hurt, remember?
But
I know. I'm just throwing stuff out. He was
so
playing
Colt
a good game.
McCoy was the starting quarterback of Texas, and he physically couldn't throw the ball after he got hit early in the first quarter. So that took away Texas quarterback championship game college football. But I don't
know. Durant got injured in the finals, but it wasn't game seven.
And it wasn't a decider, right?
Yeah, it wasn't
correct.
Game seven.
He got hurt in five.
Same thing, though. I mean,
well, Clay got hurt that series. They all got hurt. Remember Clay and Durant? They all got hurt the same series.
Yeah, but not a game seven.
No, not a game seven.
So basically, we're talking a game seven or a Super Bowl. The deciding game. And I got to tell you, off the top of my head, I can't think of one. Now, listen, maybe someone who's older and knows stuff in 1940, whatever. But, like, the concept of the best player on a basketball team getting injured, and by the way, it was like fairly early in the game.
It was in the first quarter.
So it wasn't like fourth quarter and a lot's been established.
But they had a 1-point lead at halftime.
Yeah.
But you knew, yeah.
You know what was a shame? TJ was overmatched. Mm-hmm. I know he had that flurry in the third quarter. I know he did. But if you really watched the game closely, and I did.
He wasn't going to carry
the championship. His height hurt him. He would get in the lane. He'd be surrounded by two or three long guys. He had nowhere to pass. So he had a nice little flurry for a little bit scoring. But he was overmatched, and I felt bad for him. Obviously, loved TJ. Anyway, the Halliburton thing was a shame. Now, a couple other things I got to get off my chest since I was gone. Connor McDavid, interesting comment from him after Edmonton season. Doesn't sound exactly enamored out there.
Would you be?
No. You know what I'd be enamored with?
Philadelphia.
The Philadelphia Flyers. The Philadelphia Flyers. Get Connor McDavid. That's interesting. Anyway, he's got a year left on his deal. Got a shot.
Sure.
Got a shot. Now, the Flyers also made a trade the other day, which was, yesterday, which was interesting. Because I'm going to equate this to the J.J. Redick move that the Sixers made. I don't know. I'd have to look up the year. 2018?
18-ish, somewhere in 18, there, yeah.
Where it's like they finally signed someone. They're finally trying to, what's it called, James? Win? Right? I mean, the Flyers traded, let's call them assets. We'll use the Sixers term. Flyers traded assets for a player. Now, in this case, player's got 1 year left on his deal, so you don't have him long-term. But Trevor Zegras, you know, maybe there's something there to build with in the future if he plays well and you convince him to stay. By the way, let's listen to Broads yesterday with Spike Eich and Jax. Jackie's all excited. Broads about this move for the Flyers.
All the people around the NHL, when you look at the grades, you know, they give Anaheim like a C-, and they give the Flyers A for the upside of what Zegras could be, because in the NHL world, this kid pops. Like, you tune in to Flyers hockey for Matvei Michkov and now for Trevor Zegras as well. He moves the needle that much.
All right, so that's pretty exciting, right? I mean,
it's thrilling.
You know, so does the Redick move, does that work for you? Like, my team's trying now?
Sure. Yeah, I don't think they're like one-to-one, but I think the idea of it, yeah.
This guy's younger. Redick was older.
Yeah, and that was a trade versus signing and whatever.
Correct.
But this does feel like the first time of this era of Flyers High, this regime, where they're like, all right, we are not
intending
to lose.
Yes.
You know?
We're actually using assets to win instead of using assets to lose.
Flyers people got insanely excited. Yes, I was in an Uber heading downtown when it happened. And it just exploded. People were doing emergency pause. I went, okay, this is a big deal.
All right, so you had that while I was out. Two other things while I was out. Durant traded. Now, let me just address this. I don't really care about Durant getting traded. Who cares? But here's the thing. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. How in the world is this allowed? And I know it's not official July 1st. How is this allowed during the finals?
It's so dumb.
John, what if Indiana or Oklahoma City wanted to trade for Durant? What, are they going to trade three of their players who are about to play in Game 7 10 hours later? How is that allowed?
It shouldn't be. You, every time you bring this up, with you. I agree with you every time. I thought about it when I was when the Durant thing happened that day. I'm like, okay, well, that's ridiculous.
All right, Ray, I know you're Temple tough, not Stanford smart, the way John is.
Okay.
But Temple tough knows this is dumb, right?
How can
a player be traded when other teams are competing? By the way, bad for the league that was the same day. It made them look ridiculous.
Totally.
Well, the NBA allowed, you know, something weird went on with the Luka Doncic trade. I mean, the fact that nothing was, they tried to trade him to anybody else.
Yeah.
So to me,
stuff
the
like
NBA,
this though is just
it's bad.
It just
like
doesn't
low rent.
It doesn't make any. I mean, what if Indiana, upon losing Halliburton, wanted to trade for Durant next year. But now they can't because the trade's like already gone through. Like, that makes no sense. Final thing while I was out. Rarely have I felt more inadequate than when I heard this guy. Howie Roseman yesterday turned 50. Mm-hmm. Guys, I'm 47.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Howie was like to me in the Hall of Fame like when he was 47. When he, like what is going on here? Howie, I'll tell you what, he doesn't look old, obviously not, but I would have thought he was a little older. Because he has accomplished a lot. I mean, he's been the general manager since 2010. And he just turned 50 years old yesterday. So happy 50th to Howie Roseman. All right, 215-592-9494. Obviously, the main thing since I was gone was the Phillies played really well, winning 2-3 from the Mets. If you have an answer to Amy from Villanova's question, which is an interesting one, has there ever been a bigger injury in a deciding game of a championship? A Game 7, baseball, basketball, or hockey, college football championship, college basketball championship, or a Super Bowl?
I would think it would have happened in a college football championship to me.
Maybe, but like it has to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, main person.
Because the thing about basketball, there's only five guys on the court, and if you're the best player, like that means, I mean, it's got to be something really significant to be a bigger injury than a team's best player in a basketball game.
If Mahomes hadn't have come back in that Super Bowl against the Eagles, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been. All right, so what do you make all this? Also, we'll talk to Elliot joining us in about 2 minutes. Let's get to Eric in Mount Laurel. Eric, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up, Eric?
How you doing? So, quick thing on the Trevor's egress. Yeah, it was fun. It was nice. It moved the needle in the way of the Flyers, or at least trying now. But it was a low impact trade for the Flyers. They got rid of Poehling and a couple draft picks, so why not? Right? This team will need.
Well, the why not is if you don't sign them long term. I mean, I think that's the why not. You know, it's you're taking a bit of a risk here in the sense that he could be gone in 12 months. So that's the why not. But it's
they have so many draft picks. Though.
They have so many picks, and Eric, I think maybe more than anything, it's signaling to their fans we are now trying to move forward. You know, and that's significant.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing. So finally, we're moving that. As for believing in the Phillies, I think we're going to believe in until we don't. And it's more like Alvarado was such a big loss. I think if you throw Alvarado back into the equation, everyone is on board saying this team is going to the World Series. They're going to win the World Series. So taking Alvarado out of the equation, we have all of these prospects that are sitting there. If we're happy being the Milwaukee Brewers of making the playoffs and maybe getting knocked out, then that's what's okay for, I guess, the organization. But if they want to get over the hump and they want to win a World Series, they definitely either have to bring Painter up, see what he has, or make their moves. Or I should.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
And make the move to get a bullpen arm, to get a bat, because this team goes cold or we put in Joe Ross in the playoffs and he gets rocked.
Sure.
What do you expect?
Well, I agree with you on that, Eric. I will say this, though, using last year as an example. So they didn't really make any significant moves, obviously, the trade deadline. I will tell you this. Had they probably still would have lost to the Mets. Let's just say they added one guy, whoever that is, one guy, an arm for the bullpen, a hitter, whatever. So many guys played bad in that series that it probably would not have made a difference. Now, I can't prove that, but that because the bullpen literally collapsed and the bats completely fell apart, and it all happened in the same week. Eric, give me a great answer for a duo, but we're looking for a duo with some contrast, like me and Fred Barnett hanging out the last couple days. A duo with the contrast. What do you got?
So I got, it's an age, it's a talent, it's everything. LeBron and Bronny.
talent, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's actually pretty funny.
It is kind of funny. Because Bronny's gone further than most high-end athletes' kids.
Oh, yeah.
Gretzky never had a kid playing the pros. Jordan didn't have a player playing the pros. But the way it was kind of forced down our throat makes it a funny answer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. How about the Lakers selling for $10
billion? Oh, that was wild. All right, let's talk a lot of Philly sports, not just Eagles, but want to do some 76ers draft stuff and Philly stuff as well with our next guest, Elliot Shore Parks, who, of course, joins us every single Tuesday at this time. And Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing this
morning?
Quite
a bit, my man. Quite a bit. So, Elliot, let's start Phil's, and then we'll broaden out. Question we're asking everyone today. This was in our poll yesterday. I wasn't here, but the poll question was, do you believe in this Phillies team? And 72% said they do, which, of course, is funny. We consider 2 weeks ago most people would say they don't, and really nothing changed other than they just played better and won games. Meaning that, you know, the team is the team. I mean, it's basically the same team. Yeah, Otto Kemp's been a factor, but do you believe in this Phillies team, Elliot?
I don't, no. Look, could they make a run? Of course, they did it in 2022. They're a team where if the bats get hot, anything could happen. But I think we're ignoring, or I shouldn't say we. I think some people are ignoring some pretty obvious signs with this team. The bullpen, obviously not good enough. Yeah. They make at least one dumb mistake every two or three games, it feels like. In the playoffs, that will come back to haunt them. There's nights where you look at the lineup, and after like the three or four hole hitter, you basically have no confidence in the entire bottom of the lineup. And there's this. Bryce Harper is a complete question mark at this point. Not only is he not playing, we don't know when he comes back, how long he'll stay healthy. He has suffered multiple injuries over the last few years. So could anything happen? Of course. They have some good hitters. Their rotation is great. There's just so many obvious flaws, I can't believe
it. So here's the thing I'll push back on, Elliot. I mean, you're not wrong about those flaws being a problem, for sure, and multiple problems. I guess one of the things I'm struck by when we have this conversation consistently, look, none of us, even Seltzer, who's a baseball dork, and for those that don't know, James actually has two TVs at home, and he watches a Phillies game on one and another game on another, which is like baseball dorkazoid on steroids. But that aside, Elliot, I would certainly imagine, I could use the word guess, but if we were watching these other teams every day the way we watch the Phillies, we would see other issues amongst all of them that we would say, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. I mean, how
what
can
an incredible argument you're making for the Phillies, right? When I make the same argument for the Jalen Hurts,
yep,
led Eagles.
Right.
This mistakes being made elsewhere, just like mistakes being made here, just being you don't record those mistakes elsewhere.
So you think
the
I
way
magnify
you do
Hurts
for our quarterback?
It's possible. That's possible. I mean,
so you're aware of this phenomenon?
No, possible, but not
some sports, but not others,
but not likely. Elliot, what do you make? Like, the Phillies are the third best record in baseball, so these other teams have problems too, right?
Yeah, so I think it's a fair point. And again, they could go on a run. I think Dombrowski is in a pretty tough situation here, because I think investing in this team, while I would not do it and I would not trade any of the top prospects, I also couldn't completely fault the guy. It is a last swing effort. I think this is their last chance. The team will look very different next year, in my opinion. So I couldn't completely fault him for it. But to your point about the other teams around the league having mistakes or having flaws,
issues, yeah.
I agree with that. But the thing is, we have seen the flaws for this Phillies team cost them time and time again. So, yes, other teams have flaws, but in the postseason, we have seen the Phillies' flaws be especially hard to get over. Going cold at the plate, the bullpen last year against the Mets completely imploding, right? They had great pitching last year. The issue was they couldn't hit, and when it got to the bullpen, it fell apart. So you're right, other teams have flaws, but the Phillies' flaws feel like they're especially tough to get over in a short series, which obviously is what the playoffs will be.
All right, Elliot, let's go Sixers, then we'll get to the Eagles. So when the Sixers got that third pick about a month ago, I think it was during the second round of the playoffs, I think, when they got that third pick, you came out pretty quick and said, if he's there, it should be Ace Bailey. It's about a month later. A lot of people now say it should not be Ace Bailey. Are you still on the Ace Bailey train, or have you moved off it?
No, I'm still very much on the Ace Bailey train, and I think the Sixers should be as well. I think it's such a classic pre-draft process thing that for pretty much 2 years, Ace Bailey has been the guy for number three. He was the second best recruit coming out of high school last year, and then all year throughout the college year, he was considered the second, third prospect, however you wanted to do it. Now, all of a sudden, me saying I would take him third is some wild take. I get his pre-draft process has not been great. I don't love that he canceled the interview. But to me, this is much more of an example of an 18-year-old that's getting really bad advice. His agent doesn't have any other NBA clients. He's a first-time agent. And I think they're getting that Ace is listening to bad advice. So you just look at the player. I agree there's downside, but the Sixers are not in a position to make a safe pick. They need to take a big swing. And if Howie Roseman were making this pick, I feel very, very confident he would take Ace Bailey and take the upside as opposed to a safer pick.
Elliot, the Lakers are $10 billion. What do you think the Sixers are worth?
I thought you were going to say Eagles.
Yeah, probably not $10 billion if I had to guess. I don't think Josh Harris would be the owner anymore if they were worth $10 billion. No, I mean, you know, the Lakers going for $10 billion, they're probably one of the top four or five, if not top three, most valuable franchises in sports. So I would say they're worth 10. The Sixers are maybe worth 5, 6, something like that.
So tough to know.
Yeah. All right, Ellie, let's get to football, my man. Go ahead, John.
I'm getting worried a little bit. I love our team. I know we're going to be where we need to be when it matters, but those Commanders are getting kind of scary, and they just keep adding. How are you feeling about this Commanders team? Do you feel like they might be a team we need to keep more of an eye on?
No, I don't really think so. I mean, the Commanders are obviously a good team, but we've seen time and time again in the NFL that when you have a great year, it is super, super hard to do it again the next year. And that's especially true when you're counting on a young quarterback that has had 1 year of success. I think long-term, Jaden Daniels is absolutely a top 5, 6 quarterback in the NFL. I think he's special. He checks every box. But Jalen Hurts, after his 2022 season, nobody thought he would have the bad year he did in 2023. So ultimately, you were always just as good as your quarterback, which is why I think Jalen, you know, was the best player on the Eagles last year. But if we think Jaden Daniels is going to take a step back, which is likely, that means the Commanders are as well. I don't love the Debo trade. I like them going out and fixing their line, but I think there's going to be some regression for Jaden Daniels, and that will lead to some regression for the Washington.
Man, Elliot, I don't see it that way on him. I'm confused why you go there.
Well,
I mean, I'll say this. Their team may take a step back, harder schedule, I would imagine, stuff like that. But, I mean, I don't
see with a lot of young core. I mean, C.J. Stroud was freaking awesome as a rookie.
Phenomenal.
Took a step back his second year. I mean, Jordan Love, remember that old thing? He took a step back.
He did.
The way he plays the game,
Carson
Joe,
did.
His body type, he's...
Carson did.
Yeah, year three. But I don't know, Elliot. There's a lot that don't. I mean, I don't remember Lamar or Josh Allen or Mahomes.
Josh Allen wasn't that good as a rookie.
No,
Josh
I understand.
Allen,
but, you know. But I'm saying if we're saying once a player establishes as being pretty good, if you're asking me, do I expect Jaden Daniels to be worse next year, I don't.
Well, but there's a difference between saying is he going to be, you know, awful next year or if he's 15 to 20% worse. Is that enough where now all of a sudden the Eagles are 2-3 games?
Well, clearly, listen, to James's point, if Jaden Daniels has a Jordan Love or C.J. Stroud regression, then it makes it a lot easier to win the division. I mean, that's totally clear.
I agree with that, but also I would say this, that it just in general is super, super hard in the NFL to be good year over year. So Washington, while I think now is being run better clearly than they used to be, better ownership, better coaching, better general manager, they have still yet to prove that they are a franchise that can handle success and that can consistently win. So I do think in the NFC East, obviously they're the biggest contender. I think in the NFC, they're one of the top two or three, but they still have a lot to prove that I think some of these other teams.
Well,
like
true.
The Lions,
I'm really impressed with the way they continue to add.
They've added players.
It is intimidating to me. Well, just go down their roster. Look at their receivers. You got Terry McLaurin. You got Luke McCaffrey. You got Debo Samuel. Offensive line. Your left tackle is now Laremy Tunsil. And you got Tyler Biadasz. Like, he's really solid. You got a second rounder in Sam Cosmi at right guard. And then Andrew Wiley. He's a good right tackle. Zach Ertz is your tight end. You know, like, they are... Offensively speaking, they got some talent. They got some proven talent.
Yeah.
And then on the defensive side of things, Bobby Wagner leading up the linebacking core. We know Frankie Luvu's a guy who can run around and make plays. That defensive line, I hate their defensive line because they're so talented. And then on you know, the third line, I just feel as though they've added in the right places at the right time and players in such a way that I never dreamt they could put this much talent down in Washington.
Yeah, so I think you're overvaluing almost all of those players. I mean, Deebo Samuel, I think, is on the clear downside of his career. I don't think he's the same player he used to be. Otherwise, he would have been traded for a lot more than the Washington traded for him. Luke McCaffrey is just the guy. I mean, he's a nice, you know, a nice NFL player, but he is not someone that keeps Vic Fangio up at night.
Terry McLaurin's tough to keep up with. Michael Gallup is on that roster somewhere, too.
Michael Gallup
hasn't been good for like 5 years. But Terry McLaurin's also, I'm pretty sure, unless I missed it, currently holding out.
I'm
not trying to just completely diminish them. I just think you're trying to help you out here. I think you're overly worried. I mean, the Eagles are the clearly more talented team. It doesn't always play out that makes them the better team, but I think you're inflating some of these players just because I don't think they're as good as you're making them out to be.
Okay. All right.
Well, I know that Washington is better than they were last year, and last year they were good.
I don't know if they definitely are, because you're assuming Jaden Daniels gets better. You're assuming they build upon last year. We see a lot of teams not build upon the year before because of how hard that is to do. So you were right. I like the addition on the offensive line, but I don't think it's a given they'll just continue to improve.
It's an older roster, too. It's a lot of older guys.
So this is the kind of roster that I played on when I was in Oakland, when we went and we grabbed Bill Romanowski from the Broncos.
You had Eric Allen, right?
We got Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice, Willie T.
San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, Willie T is playing linebacker.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of old heads, but guys who've been around the block a few times.
Yeah.
That's what the Washington Commanders feel like now.
Well, okay, so Elliot, let me round this conversation out with this question. Based on what you're saying about Washington, it strikes me like you're saying it should be a pretty easy division for the Eagles to win. Is that your contention?
I don't think it will be easy. I think we're probably underrating the Cowboys a little bit. If Dak Prescott plays the whole season, which he might not, right? He's getting older. He suffered an injury last year. But if he does, I think you're looking at a Dallas team that'll probably win 8, 9, 10 games. And then Washington, I think, will be competitive. The Giants, maybe 5, 6 wins. I don't think it's going to be a super easy division to win. But the Eagles are the best team. We can sit here and talk about all these things that worry us about Washington. All those other three teams have to look at the Eagles and go, look at all these things that they're so much better.
Well, clearly. No question about that.
I totally agree.
Yeah, no question.
But I know that on some given day, Washington is good enough that they can give us problems.
Okay. We'll find out. Hey, Elliot, stay well, bud. Appreciate you jumping on as always. Thanks, man.
Yep. Sounds good. Talk to you guys.
All right, Elliot, sure.
Thanks, Elliot.
Parks.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.